If you are a teacher, parent, administrator, student, and or anyone who loves reconnecting children with nature, and you want to figure out how to cultivate learning gardens and nature-based curriculum, then this is the podcast, the Outdoor Classrooms Podcast. My name is Victoria Hackett. I am the founder of OutdoorClassrooms.com and the Secret Gardens Nature Classes. I love witnessing the magic that happens when children are playfully learning outdoors. Observing the return of wonder and curiosity when children are interacting with nature is pure magic. This is the podcast that is going to help you capture children's interest and give you not only inspiration, but some real life strategies that are going to help you figure out how to use the outdoor space, your outdoor space, as a teaching tool, so you can enlighten the playful learning experience for young children. Welcome to our Outdoor Classrooms community. Anne Gadzikowski is an award-winning author and educator with a passion for nurturing children's creativity and curiosity. Anne's newest book, Every Drop Counts, Exploring Water Science with Young Children in the Age of Climate Change, will be published by Griffin House in November 2025. As a graduate of Erickson Institute, Anne developed expertise in STEM learning through her role as early childhood coordinator for the Northwestern University Center for Talent Development, and served as a curriculum director and executive editor for the Encyclopedia Britannica, where she led the creation of family resources, including Britannica for Parents. Currently, Anne serves as director of Families Together Cooperative Nursery School in Chicago. She also teaches early childhood education courses at Oakton College. Without further ado, let's talk to Anne. Hello, everybody. Hello, Anne. Welcome to the Outdoor Classrooms podcast. I'm thrilled to have you here. Anne is the author of Every Drop Counts, Exploring Water Science with Young Children in a Changing Climate. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Great. So, first, I just would love to hear your backstory and what inspired you to write this incredible book in this during this incredible time, actually.
Well, I've been an early childhood educator for a long time, and I have a background that's pretty traditional, play-based, nursery school, childcare background. But in recent years, I've become more interested in STEM learning through a bunch of different reasons that we can talk about. But I think that what I want to say first about this book is that it really grew out of my concerns about climate change. So as a teacher and as a parent, I'm thinking a lot about what kind of world the young children who are in preschool today, what are they going to inherit from us? And they are already experiencing the impacts of climate change. I'm thinking about right now, we're talking at the end of a hot summer, and a lot of kids, even here in the Chicago area where it hasn't even really been that bad, a lot of kids haven't been playing outside as much this summer as they might have when I was a kid, just because of extreme weather, because of heat. And knowing that these situations are going to continue as they grow up and are out in the world, what do they need to know? What kind of problem-solving strategies are they going to benefit from learning? And what can we do as educators and as parents to help them get ready for that world?
That's brilliant. So you have written this book with your daughter.
I have. That's one of the reasons that I can go into about this particular topic. So I've written a number of books about science, technology, engineering, and math in early childhood classrooms. But I have a daughter who's an adult now, and she's a water scientist. Her name is Alexa Yeo, and she's currently studying wave patterns on Lake Michigan. And she grew up, you know, on the shores of Lake Michigan here in the Chicago area. So it's been a wonderful journey for me as a parent to see my child, who's now an adult, explore these topics throughout her life. And I've learned a lot from her. I've learned a lot about how children learn and how they become passionate about a specific topic. And I've also learned a lot about water from her, because that's her area of expertise. So when I began to focus some of my curriculum work on water in the lives of young children, I relied on her as my content expert. So for this book, she's written the foreword. She's written some sections of each chapter. There's a section called Ask a Water Scientist. And there's some background information that an early childhood educator or a classroom teacher might not have readily available to them. And she kind of summarizes what they might need to know to feel confident to talk to young children about water. So that's been really fun for me to work with my daughter on this book.
Oh, how special. So how does this book, Every Drop Counts, address the challenges? And you have sort of these components from your daughter. How does it address the challenges, I guess?
Well, children are already really interested in water, and children already know a lot about water. I mean, every child is a water expert. They've taken a bath in water. They've had a drink of water. They've felt raindrops on their skin. So it's an experience and a topic that they already know about and that's already directly accessible to them in their lives. It's meaningful. It's sensory. So it's already there. So it's a wonderful way to start where they are and build on what they already know. And I'm a strong believer in emergent curriculum, where you are building topics and activities directly on the interests of children. And my book is kind of structured that way, where you would observe or provide some kind of spark for children and then observe them to see where they go with it. What questions are they asking, or what are they spending time on? What are they giving their attention to? And we see this a lot outdoors, I think, in particular, because water touches our lives in lots of different ways. And there are a lot of naturally occurring experiences with water that happen outdoors because of the weather or because of existing bodies of water. But also then there's the built environment, and I write about this a lot in the book. So there are fountains, you know, drinking fountains or beautiful fountains in a park that children will observe. Those are made by people. But in our conversations with children, our experiences with children, it's really fun to help them begin to notice themselves what is naturally occurring water and what is built by people. And we'll, as a teacher, we'll go on water walks with children and we'll look for water, or a water hunt. Like, where are you seeing water in your environment? And they might see drops of water on a leaf, and that's just from the rain, or that's from dew. Or they might see a hose and a sprinkler sitting on somebody's lawn. And that's a wonderful opportunity to have a conversation about, well, where did that water come from? Did we put that water there? Maybe with the hose, there was a person who put that water there. But the water that's on the drop of water on the leaf, we didn't put that there. Where did it come from? So these are really wonderful kind of emergent conversations that spark interest, and then they also draw out from the children what they're most interested in.
Oh, that's just brilliant. And brilliant in the way of emergent curriculum is so emergent. It's sort of, I think it would be hard to write about. And it seems like you've really done a beautiful job in doing that, exactly that. I'm curious about, when I think also about water, just the conservation of water. How do we teach children to conserve water, that there's not this endless supply, and that we are, and that is maybe one of our biggest challenges that we're facing in our climate change as we move into it. Anything that you write about in terms of that?
Yeah, there's a whole chapter on caring for water and caring for our earth and how that's so much connected. And how a teacher addresses that will depend somewhat on what their geographic location is. Is this a area where there's scarcity of water? And are there already issues in the community related to conserving water, say in the Southwest or in California, where there might even be rules about how much water you can use to water your lawn or do other things. So then that's already in their world, and it's something that children might even already know something about. Or other parts of the country where there might be issues with the safety of water or how clean the water is, or there might be animals or plants in their community that are endangered because there's not enough water, or maybe there's too much water. Right. You know, a lot of early childhood programs have been impacted by extreme weather conditions. And I'm thinking about schools and programs that have experienced flooding, either recently this summer, or I'm thinking about some in North Carolina that were impacted over the past year. And those children, they know what happened. It's not a secret to them that there was too much water and that we have to learn how to be safe with water. So these issues grow really naturally out of what's going on in the community. And we can empower children to be part of the solutions and to be part of the problem solvers, because they have great ideas about what we can do to conserve water, to turn off the faucet while you're washing your hands so that you're not wasting any water. They have all kinds of great ideas. So we can just ask them.
Wow. So again, I want to circle back also to your daughter. She had these activities or ideas, being sort of an expert in the field. Did your writing this book together kind of, did there something that was unexpected that you weren't expecting in terms of your partnership as mother-daughter?
Not necessarily in the writing of the book, but I would say she taught me an important lesson about the importance of science experiences for everybody. Mm-hmm. Because when she was a little girl, I probably wouldn't have predicted that she was going to be a scientist. I mentioned that I have this background as an early childhood teacher for many, many years. And I taught in play-based programs that really value constructivist learning, where children have a lot of experience building with blocks and painting and telling stories and listening to stories. So I came into that work with a background primarily in the arts and in literature. I really didn't know that much about STEM learning. And then I happened to be in a role where I was working in a program that had a lot of STEM enrichment classes. So these were like extra classes that young children could take in the summer or on the weekends. And this opened my eyes to topics that I never thought were that interesting to children. Robotics, for example. I knew nothing about robotics. And I learned about how to introduce robots to young children at a young age that don't require screens or being able to code. So I began to get very interested in hands-on STEM learning. And to circle back to your question about my daughter, one of the things I discovered is that as a woman, I grew up in a generation where girls were not encouraged to participate in science and math, at least not to the extent that a lot of people do today. And my daughter had the experience of being really encouraged to pursue science topics through some programs that were specifically targeted for underrepresented groups. So she participated, especially in middle school, she participated in some programs that were really intended to recruit girls into in-depth studies of science. And she responded to that. Wow. And I learned from that the importance of exposing everybody to science and just the value of making sure that everyone knows that these topics are available to them. So that was probably one of the big surprises of what I learned from her. And I think another surprise would be she, as an undergrad, studied civil engineering and environmental science, and actually worked as a consultant for plumbing. And I think what I learned from her is she made this leap from what she had studied in undergraduate and then going into graduate school and specializing on hydrology, is this difference between the built environment and the natural environment when it comes to water. You know, I mentioned before, we go on a water walk outdoors with children, and they might notice, you know, the puddles that were created by the rain, or they might notice, you know, the sprinkler system that they can jump through. I didn't really think that that really mattered that much in conversations with young children, but I've learned so much about the capacity of young children to really value the beauty of the natural world and to really understand the impact of humans on the world. This sounds very sophisticated as I'm hearing myself talk. I think, you know, what does this have to do with preschool? But I really think that children have the ability to understand so much more than we often give them credit for, and to really understand our relationship with the natural world. And water is one of those ways. Yeah. So thinking about water as one of our most important natural resources, I think children can really understand that, that when the rain comes down, there's this incredible gift that we receive from the earth in the form of water, and how important that is. And yes, people can use that water for drinking, and we can use that water to go for a boat ride, but really it's this, the origin of it and the natural world is so, so important.
Wow. That's so, so beautifully said. It is a gift. And what's so frightening is that our water supply is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And then what happens when and if we get to the point that we can't access, that those gifts don't arrive anymore. So I don't know if your book addresses any of this, or it's coming out soon. It's very exciting. So we sort of talked about any other practical applications, but then also shifting to just the impact and the vision that you have for this book on early childhood educators, on parents, on homeschoolers, on anybody that will be reading it.
Well, the program where I work now, I'm director of a nursery school in Chicago called Families Together Cooperative Nursery School. And so this is a small nonprofit early childhood program on the north side of Chicago. And we're in a fairly urban environment, but we spend a lot of time outdoors. And I've learned a lot from the teachers there at Families Together about how to develop really exciting and interesting outdoor activities, even if you don't have a lot of green space in your environment. So we do have, there is a public playground where we play every day. And we do have a couple of plots in the local community garden. So just in those two spaces, there are all kinds of opportunities to explore water and to learn about water. And so I drew on a lot of those experiences in the book. I should say we have three little plots. One plot is typically for planting vegetables and things that we can eat. One plot is typically more flowers and things that are pretty to look at, or are important for the bees and the insects that are in the environment. And then one plot is we typically don't plant in it, and that's our mud play plot. So all three plots are important in terms of water, but I would have to say that mud play section is probably the most popular and the most interesting from a water perspective, because the playing with mud, of course, it's a very sensory experience. So you're physically touching the mud, and you're learning a lot about how the texture of the soil is impacted by the presence of water. You keep adding more water, it keeps getting sloppier and messier. And that's a wonderful experience for the children. So those are the kinds of experiences, even in an urban garden, that the children will enjoy. And then I will also mention, in terms of the playground, there's a splash pad, or like a built-in sprinkler. And it's not in operation all year round, but it is a chance for the children to get a clear sense of when it's a hot day and you really are feeling the heat, that you can just get a little bit of mist or spray on your face and what kind of a difference that makes for you. So these are just a couple of examples from the place that I work now. that kind of feed my own curiosity and knowledge about how children engage with water and what they learn from, yeah, from the water in their outdoor environment.
Yeah, it's so key. It's so key. And just to think about all the differences between young children and as they get older, but to have those very organic experiences while they're young, to really explore, like you were saying, and have that relationship with water, to then teach those beginning conversations about even conservation. So I would love to hear more even about the impact and vision that you hope this book is going to have on the early childhood community and so on and so forth.
So I think this book is a little bit different from other current science books on the market in that it draws that connection to climate change. I'm not suggesting that we teach little 3- and 4-year-olds about climate change. It's too complex and it's too scary, frankly, to discuss with really young children. But I do talk about climate change to teachers and parents a lot because we're thinking about it. And I think that it's very hopeful for us to think of this as a multi-generational challenge. We are not going to solve this overnight. We know that already. But I think it can give us as adults a motivation as well as an encouragement to think about how children can use their own experiences with water to become really good problem solvers. Mm-hmm. So my previous book actually was called Problem Solving with Young Children. And it's really about empowering children to come up with their own ideas, especially around science, technology, engineering, and math, and how they can collaborate with each other. Because I think that's the key to problem solving engineering and science at any level, is this sense of together we're smarter than we are alone. So teaching children to collaborate, teaching children to ask really good questions, teaching children to look to each other and to look to the experts for answers, teaching children critical thinking skills so that they can pursue facts and good ideas and they know which sources to trust and which ones they need to double check. These are all really important skills and processes that are going to help kids be successful not only later in school, but I hope for the rest of their lives. So this book, Every Drop Counts, because it makes this connection to climate science, what I hope is that it's a hopeful book for the educators who use it, that it looks towards the future, that it really meets the moment in terms of some of the critical issues that we're looking at right now, that it celebrates and elevates science and scientific thinking. So I had all those things in mind when I wrote the book. And it's very process oriented. You know, I mentioned before the idea of an emergent curriculum. My background is somewhat influenced by the educators of Reggio Emilia, Italy, the educators that are really well known for the concept called 100 Languages of Children. And this is the idea that there's not just one way to think and speak and learn. When we give children different voices and different materials and different media to use, their learning will be richer and their communication will be richer. So in each of these chapters, we're talking about water, but we're looking at what stories can we tell? What creations can we make? How can we construct things with the materials that we already have? How can we reuse the materials that we already have? How can we sing or dance in ways that celebrate and learn about these different topics? Who can we talk to that we haven't talked to before who might be an expert or has a perspective on these things? So I feel like I'm rambling a little bit.
Not at all. I'm like, yeah, I love the 100 Languages of Children. And I love how you've tied all these pieces in. It's incredible, just the layers with your daughter and just your previous book on problem solving and climate change and emergent curriculum. And I'm ready to get the book because it just sounds just beautiful and so well thought through, but truly coming from this place where I feel like we're from the same pea pod, coming from this place of just this organic Reggio. Just, it's beautiful. Just, I love it. You're not rambling at all because I totally get what you're saying.
Well, I feel like our conversation has touched on a lot of these really big ideas. And I guess I would want to be sure to add that there's very practical information in this book. I think that a lot of early childhood educators and probably a lot of teachers of young children don't have a strong background in science. Maybe we took some basic science courses, but often the teachers I meet at conferences feel insecure about teaching science or even talking to young children about science because we don't think that we're experts. So one of the things I really wanted to do with this book for each topic that we address is just to give you some very introductory science information, just enough to be dangerous, as they say, so that you feel like you can have some of these conversations with children, and then you can learn side by side with the children in whatever direction you go. So there's a chapter on water and weather, and it teaches just a little bit about precipitation, about different, you know, important phenomenon in weather. And just a little bit at the beginning, just so that the teacher or the reader feels like they know enough that they can do some of these activities. And then there's a section about sparking interest. Like, what are the sensory experiences and the meaningful firsthand experiences that young children might have that are going to spark their interest? And then where do you go from there? What are some picture books? What are some toys and materials that you could use that would explore this? Where could you go on a little field trip to learn more about this? And then where would you go after that? Maybe there's a real science experiment you could do. There's not a lot of this in the book, but there's a little bit. Like, how could you teach children to use a thermometer to find out the temperature of the water? And a lot of preschool curriculum doesn't include using a thermometer. Usually that's introduced in kindergarten or first grade. But you could do a very simple experiment with young children, especially if this is something that they're already interested in. If they've already noticed that there's some ice over the puddle in the play yard, then they're going to already be talking about hot and cold. So that's a wonderful time to start talking about, well, how can we measure if something is hot? How do we know if it's hot? How do we know if it's cold? How cold does it have to be before it starts to freeze? So we're having these kinds of conversations about the things that the children are already interested in. And that's when you can go deeper and start introducing specific tools that they might learn to use to conduct an actual science experiment. So it goes anywhere along this continuum from just an interesting conversation that you have in the playground all the way to sitting down and doing an experiment and writing down the data and talking about, you know, what your hypothesis is. You can go anywhere along that range and still have a really meaningful and interesting conversation with children about water.
You know what? I love what you said about early childhood educators may not have or just feel very vulnerable around science. And your explanation has been very inspiring. I sort of see them as seeds of inspiration. That's what I like to call just these little seeds of inspiration. And then you talking about just having, you know, starting once you start and then that emergent curriculum sort of taking the bull by the horns with it. So that is just beautiful. Are there any upcoming projects or topics that you're excited to explore now that you've completed your Every Drop Counts?
I would like to think about and learn more myself about how programs and schools in different parts of the country develop water curricula. Because I've written, a lot of this is written from, of course, my own perspective, being in the Midwest and kind of an in-between sort of environment where we have cold winters and we have hot summers. But I think a lot about early childhood programs in other parts of the country or other parts of the world. And that's something I'm really curious about. So I'm hoping in this coming year that I'll have an opportunity to travel to some different areas and learn a little bit more. Because as I said, children already know a lot about water. And I'm wondering what they know when they live in an environment where water is precious, or whether in an environment where they're very close to a large body of water, maybe a river, maybe a lake, maybe the ocean, and how that impacts their experience and their learning.
Fascinating.
So that's one thing that I'm really hoping I'll have a chance as I talk about the book in different places.
Oh, so fun. You'll have to come to Beverly, Massachusetts. We're near the water. We're the North Shore of Boston.
Wonderful.
We are coming to a close here. Is there anything, any seed of inspiration that you would like to share with our community that we may have missed, or just a seed of inspiration in terms of what you would like educators to leave on?
I think I just would want to say again something I said earlier. I think this is a really hopeful book. And I think that working with children on any kind of STEM topic, science, technology, engineering, and math, is a really generative experience for educators. I think it's easy to get discouraged. And I just find it so exciting to see that spark of interest and that spark of wisdom that children bring to these kinds of science explorations. It gives me a lot of hope. So I hope that teachers will have that experience too and come away from science learning with a lot of excitement about continuing to do that more and more with young children.
That's beautiful. But you are such a great example because you were someone that you didn't see yourself as a scientist.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then you wrote a book on robotics. You wrote a book on water and science. It's fascinating. And then that you're so excited about that you want to even dig even deeper. So you are yourself a perfect example of just flipping that mindset in terms of, you know, and uncovering the unknown and not being afraid of it. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. It's about curiosity. It's about bringing your own curiosity to the exchanges with the children, and then the children share their curiosity with you.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much for joining us. And where can we find you?
I have an author website, annegadzikowski.com, and I have descriptions of each of my books on that website. And the new book, Every Drop Counts, will be published by Griffin House in November. And they already have a description of the book on their webpage, and it should be available for order very soon.
Great. So that is November 2025. Five,
yes.
Because I want to make sure if people are listening to this later on down the road. So we'll just...
November 2025 is the release of the book.
Very exciting. I'm going to get on the list. And all of that information will be in the show notes. I again want to thank you, Anne, so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. If you're ready to take the next step and dive deeper into our communities, here's how you can get involved. First, you can join our one-hour workshops. These happen every month with fresh and exciting new topics each time. It's a great way to get a taste for what we offer. If you enjoy the workshops, you can become part of our Circle membership community. And this will give you access to not only all the new workshops that happen every month, but it will also give you access to our entire workshop library, which is growing. It will also give you access to our monthly roundtable discussions. And also, as a member, you receive exclusive discounts on all our programs. It's wonderful, wonderful family. The final step, if you would like to dig deeper into our community, is to join our Outdoor Classrooms Teacher Certification Program. This program is for those educators who are eager to dig even deeper into our programming, and it's the perfect next step. If you want to learn more about each of these programs, or you're not sure where you need to start, or any questions that you might have, schedule a one-on-one discovery call with me, Victoria Hackett. I will put all of that information in the show notes. You can also go to our website at www.outdoor-classrooms.com to learn more information. We can't wait to welcome you into our community. Until next time.